Welcome to the Windows Communication Foundation screencast series sponsored by Pluralsight. Pluralsight provides flexible training solutions for Microsoft developers that can fit any schedule or budget. Check us out at pluralsight.com. My name is Aaron Sconard, and in this short screencast, I'm going to show you how to manage query string and form input while consuming REST services. Here I am in Visual Studio 2008, and I'm going to show you how to build on this simple Twitter Shell console application. I showed you how to build this Twitter Shell console application in a prior screencast named Consuming REST Services with HTTP Client. Most REST services make it possible to submit input data either through query strings or through form posts, very similar to what you would do within a web browser client. Let's look at the Twitter REST API documentation and see what it provides. If we go and look at some of these status methods, like the user timeline status method, notice I can issue a GET request to this particular URL to retrieve a specific user's status timeline. If I don't provide an ID, it'll just give me back my statuses as a Twitter user. But notice down here, I can submit a specific ID on the query string. And I can specify for that the screen name of the Twitter user that I want to retrieve the timeline for. I can also specify a count to specify exactly how many statuses I want to retrieve. Let's see how this works by jumping over here to a different browser window and actually adding these values to our query string. So here if I just enter user underscore timeline, I get back all of my status updates, at least the most recent 20. If I want to then restrict that in some way, I can add on these query string variables. Like I could say count equals 3, and then I should just get back 3 status updates instead of more. Let me just go back and take that off and issue it again, and you'll see that we have a lot more than 3 statuses coming back in this particular example. Okay, so by simply tacking on count equals some number, let's just get back 1. We only get back 1 status update in that case. Now I could also restrict it by saying ID equals, and I could enter the screen name of another Twitter user. Like in this case, I'm going to get back Fritz Onion's most recent status update. Or if I wanted to get 5 of Fritz's updates, I could say count equals 5, ID equals Fritz Onion, and now I'm seeing 5 of Fritz Onion's updates. So we can add these values onto the query string to impact what the operation actually does. Let's go back to our code and look at how we can build a query string safely using the new HTTP client class that ships with the WCF REST Starter Kit Preview 2. So I'm going to jump back over here to Visual Studio, and we're going to see how to write that code. I'm going to browse down here to our ls command. This is where we request the user timeline. Now, we were doing that before down here within this get statuses method. We were using the same method to process several different timeline requests. I'm going to do things a little bit differently now for this one. So I'm just going to copy this code and paste it up here instead of calling get statuses. Okay, and here we'll specify user timeline, and everything else will be the same. Now before I go off and I request that URL using a GET request, I want to build a query string. One of the new classes that ships with the WCF REST Starter Kit Preview 2 is a class called HTTP Query String. If you instantiate one of these things, it gives you a simple model for building a query string on the fly. So for example, I could add in a variable called ID and specify some screen name. Okay, I could also add in a variable called count and supply a count. Okay, before we can do that, let's actually ask the user to type these things in. So we'll do console.writeline, and we'll type in enter an ID. So here we'll say ID, actually we called it screen name down there below, equals console.readline. And we'll also request the user to enter a count. And then we'll bring in that count from the console, just like that. Then we can build this query string with those two values like we just showed you. And then I can supply that query string in my call to get on HTTP client. So here I can just provide vars. Now this overload actually requires me to specify a URI here instead of a string. So let me just go ahead and do that. and specify this is going to be a relative URI. Oops, I noticed a little problem here. Let me go ahead and add .xml to the end of that URL. Now we should be ready to go ahead and build, and now we're ready to test. So let me do a Control F5, enter my credentials, try an ls command. And for this first example, let's just hit enter. This should just get my personal statuses. We'll say 3, and there we got 3 statuses back. Let's do it again, and this time let's enter someone else's screen name. This is one of my friends, Fritz Onion. We'll say I want to get 5 of Fritz's back, and there we got those. One more test. Let's do Keith Brown, 42. And this time we'll ask for 10. And then we got 10 updates from Keith. The HTTP query class will take care of URL encoding all the data that we provide it, making our job much easier. So this is a safe way of building a query string and submitting it as part of this simple GET method on the HTTP client class. Okay, now let's look at how we could submit a form post. If we scroll down here to our update command. This is where we were building an HTTP query string ourselves manually before using that escape URI string method, and we were issuing an empty post. Well, I could also supply this status equals string as a form post as well, and then I would have to specify that I want the content type to be the URL encoded form content type. Okay. Instead of doing it this way, we can take advantage of another new class that ships with the WCF REST Starter Kit Preview 2. It's called HTTP URL Encoded Form. It works a lot like the query string in that I can simply add in new variables that are going to be part of my form post. So here I'm going to say I want to have a variable called status, and it's going to contain that string called status that we retrieved right up here above. Okay, then instead of doing this, I can simply specify, and then instead of providing an empty body, I'm going to say form.create HTTP content. And that will create for me the entity body for my HTTP request, and it will set the appropriate content type for a form post. Okay, everything else should work the same. With that little bit of code in place, let's go ahead and try it out. So I'm going to run my console. Enter my credentials. Let's just do an ls command to make sure I can get some statuses back. There are my statuses. Now let's do an update. I'll test from new and improved. And then if you get this specific error, expectation failed, this is because of some behavior that's built down in the system.net HTTP request class. And what you need to do is you need to come back here to your code, and you need to add a line up here. There's a class called system.net.servicepointManager, and there's a property on it called expect100continue. You want to set that to false there. And with that line in there, our form post code that we wrote down here should now work. So let me go ahead and close the client and rebuild and rerun. Then let me go ahead and put in my credentials again. Do another ls just to make sure we can get some back. There they are. Now let's do our update. Another test from the new client. Status updated. Let's do an ls, make sure that status is still in there. Another test from the new client. So there it is. So in this short screencast, we've seen how you can take advantage of two new classes. The HTTP query string class and the HTTP URL encoded form class that allow you to more easily manage input to RESTful services out on the web. Thank you for watching this video in the Windows Communication Foundation screencast series. You can find more in-depth online training videos at Pluralsight.com, where you can sign up for a yearly subscription to Pluralsight On Demand. Pluralsight On Demand gives you access to an extensive library of online training courses covering a variety of current and emerging Microsoft technologies. And you can access this valuable content from anywhere, anytime, while still learning from the folks you trust. Check it out today at Pluralsight.com.